that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Range Wranglers. And you know, I'm sure glad we're doing this inside today, because the snow is almost sideways out there, but it's good in here. We welcome you to March 1st, 2014, and we say welcome, March, and welcome, Kyle.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And we say also good morning, Holy Spirit, because we gather in the name of Jesus Christ, and that is his name, the name that God the Father gave him. And that's the name we gather in. And the word says if we gather, when two or more gather in that name, that he is there also. So we sure appreciate that. Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program. We ask that you guide us and direct us, Father. And we pray that you lead and direct the conversation this morning on this radio program. We're grateful to be here, and we just ask, Father, that you guide us in all that we do, that you bless our hands and the labors that we do, and that you continue to guide us and direct us in the paths of righteousness. We pray on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. We gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we pray and petition to the saints. And we ask, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the powers that come against us, that you continue to guide us and direct us. We ask, Father, that you let this program be a blow to Satan and his kingdom and a blessing to the saints across this land. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And we'll have the phone lines open this morning, 307-745-5913. And we'll just kind of spin the wheel and Didn't know who wanted to start out this morning. Maybe somebody had something you wanted to bring up first.
I didn't really necessarily want to bring up something first, but, man, you just look around, and it seems like you can just tell that we're in a different time, a different era. I don't know if has anybody else noticed just recently just how the news stories have changed that you see on television and hear on the radio, and just the events that are taking place. It's just, to me, it's obvious that there's been some kind of shift, and things have really sped up, it seems like.
Yeah, I agree. All you really hear about is judge after judge overturning the will of the people all across the country.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That and, seems like you hear about so much corruption getting that happens in these courtrooms anymore, where, you know, somebody is just, you know, guilty without a shadow of a doubt, and then you hear about him getting off scot-free. Judge just bringing that gavel down saying, not guilty.
Right. No justice.
No justice. No, definitely no righteousness in the land. And
well, and that's the thing is, you know, you get these people out there that call for justice. They say they want justice, but then they turn to an unjust government system to try to find justice, and you're not going to get it there. You're just simply not going to get it.
Amen. You know, we've seen it in California, and the pastor had reported on it for years, how the people would overwhelmingly vote, sometimes 80%, either to not have a tax or to not recognize same-sex marriage or, something along those lines. And so that's the law. In a democracy, the majority vote a certain way, and that's what passes. You know, it's like that in Robert's Rules of Order. It's that way in this so-called democracy that they, and I understand it's supposed to be a republic and all that good stuff, but it is more of a demonocracy. And so 80% of the people will vote a certain way. And so that passes. So that's now the law of the land. Until, like you say, Jason, a judge comes up and says, no, we overturned that. Scribble their name on it. And then it doesn't matter what the people have voted. And our pastor brought that out to many people's attention time and time again, especially in California. You know, recent headlines, we see the same thing down in Arizona. The people and both houses, representative houses down in Arizona, vote to pass a bill, I think it was number 1602, to where if you were a Christian business, and then you couldn't be discriminated against or sued if you didn't want to deal with someone that came against your religious beliefs. And it was basically so these Sweet Cakes by Melissa and photographers and stuff would not be forced to participate in these evil deeds of darkness and these abominations that are so rampant in the land and still run their business. The people vote for it. The representatives of the people pass it. And it goes to the governor's desk, and she vetoes it before you could say lickety-split, because they didn't put the enemies of God didn't put the fear of God in her. They put the fear of the Jews in her. And, the NFL even said, we just might change our 2015 Super Bowl if you pass stuff like that. And banks and financial institutions and businesses, you know, we just might not be able to invest in Arizona anymore. You pass those kind of laws.
And they put the fear of the beast, where you can't buy, sell, or trade. And I was talking to a man yesterday on our ministry, a friend of all of ours, and we were talking about those issues. They put fear in the place of faith because, you know, if they would just look around all these businesses, if they'd look around at Chick-fil-A and see what happened when they stood up, their business prospered. Mm-hmm. Hobby Lobby's prospering. The Duck Dynasty boys, yeah, they took a little heat for a while, but they're prospering. You know, I mean, hopefully they stick to their guns. I don't really know all the ins and outs. But you know, I asked him, you know, how his business did, you know, after the Phil Robertson deal, because they, you know, they deal in some of that Duck Dynasty stuff. And he said he really couldn't tell the difference, but if anything, it increased. You know what I mean? But they put the fear in people, and it takes away the faith in people. So they go at it, and they say, yeah, I'm going to stand up against this, you know, against this sin that the Bible calls sin. And I'm not going to deal with them. I don't want to operate with them, you know. I want them just to go away, get out of my life, and not, you know. And then all of a sudden, fear comes in. And that's where the scribes, you know, the modern-day scribes take over. Because, you know, I don't know what the vote was. It sounded like what you were quoting there was pretty high in favor of that bill. You know, but the scribes and all the media, they come at them at so many angles, you know, that all of a sudden their faith is leaving what they were going to stand up for, and fear comes in, you know, and just, I don't know the governor at all, you know, but...
I don't either.
But, you know, she might be a snake to begin with, you know what I mean? But fear came in. I mean, when the Super Bowl and all these big-time things that's supposed to bring in all this money that they can buy and sell and trade with... You know, when they threaten them, then all of a sudden they cower down. They don't care if democracy anymore is out the window.
Yeah. I had a quote here. She said something about, see if I've got it here. Yeah. The governor says, my agenda is to sign into law legislation that advances Arizona. I call them like I see them, despite the tears or the boos from the crowd. And it's like, that's her Arizona. That's the Arizona she wants to have, you know. And then they got this, you know, picture of these filthy faggots that are doomed to hell if they stay in their lifestyle. Love it. They're dancing and they're smiling and they're hugging each other. And, oh, they may love her now. But,
yeah,
you know, that's just now. Well, guys, the phone's ringing awful early. You think we should go to it already? Why not, huh? Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hey, Wranglers. This is Mark in Ohio.
Hey, good morning, Mark.
I just had a comment. I read a story. I don't know if you read it. I guess that some U.S. government's got a $90 million loan to Uganda. And Uganda has a law that anyone caught practicing homosexuality gets life in prison. So they're negotiating about whether or not Uganda's going to get that loan unless they change that law. So I just thought I'd bring that in case any of you might have heard it.
You know, talk about a slap in the face to white Christian America.
Yep.
You know, when you've got a black Uganda, black backwards third world country that, at least in that instance, is closer to the true word of God and justice and judgment than we are here.
Yeah, I decided to throw that out there. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, bye now.
Yeah, it's about time we warn those judges that, guess what? Someday you're going to face the real, true Chief Justice. And all of these laws that you make and overturn, you're going to have to answer for.
Yeah. Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah, that's kind of what you just said there, John, that warn. That's kind of the job of a Christian, to warn. I mean, when you think of, you know, everybody on the, you know, when you come out and you say that something's wrong and you don't do it in a bad way, you just say it in a matter-of-fact way, the world comes against you, but the Word of God says that is love. That's how you hide a multitude of sin, is you warn the people of the errors of their way.
So they can turn.
And you might even help save a soul from death, which hides a multitude of sins. That's the job of a Christian. Now, where the line is where you say, okay, I've warned you enough, buddy. I mean, how many times do I got to warn you? I'm drawing the line now. But still, you have to keep doing it. I mean, that goes right along with the greatest commandment and the second to it. You know what I mean? And that's something that it's kind of embarrassing, the so-called Christians who try to defend what they're saying, they never defend it with the true word of God, you know. And so they put out this stuff, you know, their defense of it, and I can't even agree with the defense of it. You know what I mean? And you know you don't agree with the ones that are offenders, so I don't know. But it is our job, John, to warn the judges, to warn the people doing it, to warn everybody. Now, how we do that is up for debate.
But yeah, you know, if we think about it, though, what's going on is the churches and the people don't have that spirit in them anymore, the spirit of God, and they've allowed immorality to creep in, and they haven't spoke out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I believe as time goes on, unless the true Christians do get a backbone, then God will continue to pull back.
Yeah, and that's where, and then when they call you a hypocrite because you don't stand up against the adulterer sitting next to you in church, but you stand up against the homeless, they got a point, you know, because the church has did that. They've picked and choosed, you know, which thing they're going to fight. Probably it's going to be the thing that doesn't affect their loved ones.
Yeah, yeah. Or the money that comes in to the churches.
Yeah,
because that is one of the things that drives it all today.
But I don't think they stand against anything anymore.
Yeah, they don't. They don't. No.
When's the last time you heard of a church?
I don't think they do either.
Yeah.
They don't take a stand.
The stand is weird because, you know, all the radio people, they read these emails. They don't ever let those people have a voice on the radio. They'll read their emails who are against the homosexuals or who are against whatever it is, or, you know, so you don't really even know if there is emails or, you know, if they're coming in, if there's people that, you know, I mean, so yeah, you're right, you know, I mean, because all the church people, you know, you see walking around, they don't look like they care a bit what's going on, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, there's that phone line again. Let's go to it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Oh, good morning, Richard. I've been talking to a lot of people this week about, you know, America's future and stuff, and I had spoken to Kyle before, and he was talking about the redemption of America, and everybody keeps seeming to say it's a done deal, gone, we're Babylon, gone to Babylon, there's no turning back. I was wondering if you could talk a little more about the hope that you have.
The hope is in Micah chapter 4. Where it talks about the New Jerusalem, Zion, that goes to Babylon, and then it talks about how we're in the position we're in today, and you know, I don't know if somebody wants to pull that up or read it, but anyway, and then it talks about how we're redeemed, you know, I mean, and this, whether this is the entire New Jerusalem, America, I don't know, I can't say that for sure, you know, because. The body of Christ, though, I'll put it that way. The body of Christ is the redeemed house of Israel, the New Jerusalem, Zion, that's wearing white robes, that, you know. So that's the hope. That's where the hope lies. It's just our job while we're here in Babylon. It's the same job as Daniel and Meshach and Abednego and Shadrach. I mean, it's our job not to bow to Baal.
Yes.
It's our job to try to help save souls from death. And try to rewrite as much as we can rewrite, you know. So, you know, whether we go in the fiery furnace and get burned up, or whether we go in the fiery furnace and God protects us from getting burned up, whether we live or whether we die, we're going to be Jesus Christ, and we're going
to
live in the...
That's right, we do still unto the Lord.
Yep, and we're going to live in the New Jerusalem someday.
Well, you guys have the best weekend ever. God bless you all.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
If I said something wrong there, straighten me out, guys.
No, I don't think so. I think that we.
No, you might want to turn them up just a little bit, though, so we can say it a little louder.
Okay. You think so, huh? Well, you know, we you hear so much about, well, you just, you know, you're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to judge, and that's what Jesus said. You know, I came into the world, he says in John 12. If anyone hears my sayings and doesn't keep them, I don't judge him, for I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. And you know, you'll hear them I hate to even use the term Judeo-Christian because it puts the Antichrist it with top billing. Of course, that's where they're at right now in the minds of the people. But you'll hear them and they'll stop right there and say, "See, those are the red letter words. Those are words from our Lord and Savior. He didn't come to judge. He came to save." You know, and that's about the time the it's like the syrup being poured over you because it sounds just as sweet as that pure maple. But if you keep reading the next verse, he said, "He who rejects me and doesn't receive my sayings has one who judges him."
Yes.
And so listen to that world. Listen to that remnant. You don't want to hear the word of God. You don't want to hear and read and believe what the Bible says. You have one who judges you. The word that Christ spoke is what will judge you in that last day. And you know, and then it goes on and says that, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but the Father himself who has sent me has given me commandment what to say and what to speak." And so it's not just his words of Christ, but it's the words of God the Father.
Yeah.
And that is what judges. The word. The word is what judges. And so, you know, when we quote the word, hey, liars won't make it into the kingdom. You know, when Mr. Phil, you know, was saying, "Hey, listen, you homosexuals ain't going to make it. It's as simple as that. If you stay in that lifestyle," that's not him judging. That's the word judging.
Right.
And when the people argue with it, and the people don't like it, and they call you bigot and everything else, they are, as verse 48 says of John 12, "He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him." And really, they judge themselves by doing that.
Yeah.
You know, because the judgment's there. The judgment is there. It's just the people don't believe it. And they don't apply.
Well, and if you look, you know, you can tell that we're just, you know, these churches are to a non-judgmental state. Because anytime you're getting somebody in that, quote, scripture that is a judgmental scripture, you read about it on the headlines. I mean, it's happened two or three times.
Yeah.
You know, where people have said something about the homosexuals, you know, for... as far as mass media is concerned, and you know, they were just saying what the Bible says for the most part, and there was a lot of people that were in the churches that came against them.
Yes.
You know, and you get into the churches, and it's, you know, they've even changed it from the Ten Commandments to the Ten Suggestions, and you know, they don't even strongly suggest in the churches today.
Right. Well, the other thing they've done is they've removed any songs with any backbone or fight.
Yeah.
And anything to do with the blood of Christ, you know, power in the blood, all those kind of songs are...
That's because they don't like the blood.
That, well, no, the military, you can't do that.
Exactly. And they've just, you know, there's a church here in town, and I've talked to several people that go there, and it's a fairly large church, and asked them, you know, "Why do you like that church so much?" And they like it because it's so non-judgmental. You know, the pastor gets up and he'll talk to you about, "Oh, well, you know, the Bible says this and you're not to do it, but, you know, everybody does it. And, you know, everybody has problems in these areas. So, you know, so that's life."
Yeah. It becomes accepted. It's just accepted.
Absolutely. I mean, it's past accepting, it's condoning, you know. And, of course, it's a fairly large church, and they're reaping the benefits, you know, of it. But it's, you know, it's a plague out there.
It's really one of the last protocols is what it is taking over all religion. And
yeah.
just about got it whipped, really, in the seeing world, you know.
I think if looking at it from their end, I think they believe that they've got it whipped.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you look at it from an outside view, it sure would seem that way. You know, it's
yeah. We were going to talk, you know, about the NRB, but you and I both know that 90% of that thing is the world. You know, 90% of that is "Jesus loves me" and "send your check here."
But, yeah, we did have a couple of people that asked in just for had called her and asked, you know, for just to wanted to know how things went there and
yeah, we can do that.
So that'd be
well, it's starting out a little rough, huh, Jason? we ended up getting to the airport not too much earlier than we needed to, and then of course going through the security lines. Typically, I like to walk across the bridge over to Concourse A, so you don't have to take the train or nothing. And usually that's an easier run, but this one was backed up quite a bit. So finally got through that deal and got redressed, and then ended up walking over to the gate. Well, just about time to load, and we're kind of standing right there by the jetway, and this girl just starts puking. I mean, everywhere, just
like
that, right on the floor.
Projectile vomiting.
Yeah, right on the floor, and so
splattering all over the place.
Yeah, I think she may have been a special needs child or something, but I mean, she wasn't a child. She's probably 16, 17, 18. But anyways, so then we go to get on the plane, and we have just our carry-on, and they're like, oh, well, wait a minute. You can't take that on the plane. I'm like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah, they've already
didn't claim it.
They've already let you through security, right?
Yeah, but here's the deal.
We're all the way at the gate.
Yeah, we're just about to get on the plane. I mean, they're ready to shut the door.
Yeah.
And because we were in the, you know, last loading zone or whatever. So we get to the gal that's supposed to let you on the plane, check your boarding pass and all that, and she says, "Whoa, wait a minute, you can't get on there. You have a carry-on. You didn't claim it." And I go, "What do you mean you didn't claim it?" And originally, when we got to the airport, we started walking up to the counter, and some guy directed us to the kiosk. So Jason went to the kiosk and, you know, got all that done. But apparently now, if you book your flight on a third party, like Travelocity or Expedia or any one of those things, you can't even take a carry-on aboard unless you pay for it. So what you're supposed to do is click a button, and they want $50 extra to take a carry-on, or you can check it for $25. Well, we didn't know that because, you know, in the real world, up until...
Yeah, they have the thing that comes up that says, do you want to purchase an extra bag pass? And I click no because I've never had to pay for a carry-on.
Right.
Right. So we get to the gate, and she goes, well, that'll be $100 per bag. And we're like, what? And she's like, yeah, she's giving us this long rigmarole, this and that. And we're like, okay, well, I guess if we're in Babylon, got to do like Babylon. So, and she's still trying to explain it and this and that.
Then we're just like, we pop a card down on the table and say, okay, take the, you know, here it is, take the money.
Yep.
And it keeps going on and on and on. It's
and
like,
we're about
okay,
to miss the flight.
We got it. Take the money. We're trying to keep a cool here. And, you know, even after you tell them, just take the money, that's fine. It is what it is, rip off or not. Just take the money. We got to get on the flight. And
yeah. So anyway, so we get on the flight, and then we get in, I don't know, 11 o'clock or something, pretty late, and go to get our rental car. Well, there's another ordeal. Ended up, I guess I shouldn't say what names, but anyways, end up at the rental car counter, and a couple foreigners behind the counter can hardly speak English. They were kind, but what difference does that make when you can't speak English? Well, next thing you know, it's a half hour. It's 45 minutes, and I'm like, what, are you kidding me? And finally, they start getting me the paperwork. Well, I'll tell you what, I signed less paperwork to buy a house than to rent this stinking car. And so we get a Tahoe, and then you got to walk like 3 miles to where your vehicle is. So we do that. We jump in it. We just get out of the airport and hit the highway, and this thing's got a growl in the front end and a vibration that you would not believe. And it had almost 50,000 miles on it, which is pretty unheard of on a rental car vehicle. So we went out to where the transmitter site is, because we were supposed to meet with the owners of the shortwave station. And next morning, ended up calling the rental car company and see if they could come trade out a vehicle with us. Well, nope, couldn't do that. You'd have to bring it in. But they didn't have anything else similar to the vehicle we had, so another half a day going back, dropping that off, finally renting a decent vehicle from a reputable company. But so we get to the NRB, and Jason can probably explain it better, but I mean, it started out being like $50, wasn't it, Jason, to
to be able to have a path. The NRB, it used to be, well, I mean, it's just, the show is just not what it used to be. NRB is the National Religious Broadcasters, and every year that they have a trade show, and it's where everything from, ministries, there's ministries from basically all over the world, a lot of technology. We've always found it beneficial for this ministry to go there and just to look at the technology, the video equipment, the audio equipment, the uplink equipment, the distribution. They got everything from the DVD duplicators, the CD duplicators that we use there in our office, to the printers that you use to print on to the DVDs and stuff like that. It's part of the ministry, and it's part of, you know, it's some of the tools that we use. So it's a good place to get good discounts on stuff like that, and to look at the technology and you just see what's available. The show started out years ago. It was at one point in time they were giving tickets out. If you wanted to come and attend the exhibit hall, you could get in for free, and the prices crept up to about $50 a piece, and then they were $100 for a long time. And even when they were at that price, they would go to every one of the vendors, and they would give them so many coupons to give out to people. All the radio stations, the churches, the companies that were attending, they'd give them 100 to 500 badges to pass out to people, because they wanted people to attend the show, because people attending the show represented sales.
Sure.
You know, the more people you get walking through there, the more sales you're going to make. And so that's one of the things they used to do, and to promote the show, they charge $50 or $50 to $100 at that time to get into the show. But they'd give, if you knew a vendor that was in there, and they would give you a badge, you could get in for free. So it created a value on it as well, where more people attended. There used to be a lot of attendees. Now, the way it's changed just in the last 2 years is $650 to get in, and they didn't give any of the stations or any of the people that had booths there badges to give out to people. You got two or three badges
per booth.
And you had to fill out the paperwork on who they were. They did have some passes that they would give to people. If you have never attended the show, it was supposed to be a one-day pass to get into the show. But, talk about, it was just, it wasn't what it used to be, that's for sure. I mean, it had shrunk down. Yeah, it was down to half the size, and just not near as much equipment. I mean, you could watch. It used to take you hours to walk just the equipment section of that show. You could spend a good day if you stopped and looked at any of the technology. You could spend a good day and to get through it all. And now you could go walk in 20 minutes. I mean, it was crazy. Talking to the people there that were there at the show, I asked them, hey, what's the deal with the show? And, well, the problem was is people couldn't afford to go to the show. One, $650 to go walk around at a trade show is outrageous, and nobody's willing to pay, or not very many people are willing to pay that. And second of all, they didn't give the passes to any of the people that were at the booth that were, passing them out. So it was really it was interesting and good to see. I mean, and it was a good, beneficial show to be at and to be able to talk to some people. But at the same time, it was interesting how much it had changed over the last, even just the last couple of years. It was just, it was kind of shocking.
Yeah. Well, you can't say the Lord don't have a sense of humor, though, because it's from the booth where we were set up for the shortwave station there. Right across from us was the Billy Graham Foundation. But
yeah,
they were kind of in protest, basically, because, that's such a big, big foundation that they have 20, 30 people there. You start adding that up times $650 or whatever. So what they did was, it was less money to rent a whole conference hall or whatever up in the main hotel and have one or two people stationed down there directing them to come up upstairs to it. So I thought that.
Yeah, and that's what they did. It was really interesting because they came into the show, and usually they bring in 20 employees that have them at their booth, and they spend quite a bit of money on it on their booth. And even with the booth the size that they wanted to put in there, they wouldn't allow them to get 20 badges. They were going to charge them $650 per badge per employee that they had working at their booth. And so they went to a smaller booth and had some TVs running and passed out passes. And then they went down the hall and rented an exhibition hall for $600 a day for the 3 days, and had coffee and donuts and all that kind of stuff catered in and set up Wi-Fi and gave people special invitations to come over there to the suite, and that's how they got around it.
Right.
Well, guys, give you a minute.
The security stuff. Go ahead.
Let me give you a minute to catch your breath, and we'll go to the phone lines if that's all right. Got a caller here.
Sure.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Well, just a brief comment that might inspire you guys to do a little investigation as to the infiltrators taking over the NRB and doing all these measures purposefully that seem anti-business, but for the business of actually trying to do away with religious broadcasting. So maybe you guys have a year's work ahead with you. Check in who's behind it.
Amen.
Thanks.
All right. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Well, I know.
I don't know. Long story short, I guess. Go ahead, Jason.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, long story short, there was some good things there that we found. Found a company that does translation that for a reasonable price. Basically, if you have a script and you have the audio files, then they'll translate it to one of like 600 languages for like $100 or $150, which is really reasonable. And basically, what I was thinking is some of these messages some of Pastor Peter's messages we could have translated into languages for our people and try to hit specific areas of Europe, because really, from talking to people, that's one thing that is missing there in Europe is there's a lack of really any religious broadcasting. So, Lord willing, I'm hoping that's a direction that we'll try to move towards.
Yeah, and it was, I think that was a good call, because I think that's one of the things that, you know, we've got to look at, and we got to remember that religious broadcasting is targeted no matter what it is. And it was you could tell that there was a shift. You know, there's always the big boos that come in from Israel, but it was interesting that, you know, even this year there wasn't near as many of them as there was last year.
No, and it didn't seem like they were very crowded either.
And they weren't, no.
I have to say there was probably only two radio stations that were there, and I think we were the only shortwave at least the shortwave station that we're on was there. And basically, you could see that there's an increase in people wanting to understand what shortwave is, and some people have never even really heard of it, you know?
I did notice that. I was talking to the owner of the station there, and he was telling me that we walked around and looked at some of the stuff, and it was the only shortwave station there, and it was interesting that, in the past, you know, people, they wanted to stop and talk to the AM stations or the FM stations or the HD radio stations. And there was a lot of interest in shortwave.
Yeah. Well, people are starting to see what the FCC is actually cracking down on the freedom of speech, you know. They're talking about sending people into newsrooms, and they're starting to realize that shortwave is something that they really can't regulate. I even heard the other day, and I'm not endorsing Glenn Beck by any means, but I actually heard Glenn Beck the other day was talking about no matter what the FCC does, you know, if I have to get on shortwave and this and that. So, but that's probably a bad thing.
Well, I think it's like that one caller said, if you see, you know, who's behind this. because it is, and Jason, you mentioned it, it's an attack on religious broadcasting. It truly is. And you know, I can remember going to those shows in the past, and there'd be, you know, several, half a dozen, up to 10 maybe shortwave stations that were there, you know, smaller stations and that, and you know, where are they at now? Well, what better way to keep them out than to, you know, I mean, yeah, the price, $650, good golly, yeah, they used to, you know, you'd have, like Jason said, the passes, you'd go there and fill out, and the places were packed. You know, for the 2.5 days you'd be there, it was sometimes elbow to elbow, and you'd have to wait in line almost sometimes to get and see booths and talk to people about that. The technology and the radio stations, and it does.
Yeah,
I
got to tell you,
sure seems to be a shift.
First getting there was a little rough with the memories of being there with the pastor. You know how that is.
Yeah,
just hits you. And
absolutely.
If it was just for one reason to be there, was the fact that we make a deal with the shortwave station to basically use our airtime to broadcast live. So basically, for those 2 days, 2.5 days or whatever, guests come in and sit down, and they do a live shortwave radio broadcast. I thought it was interesting. One of the engineers had the idea of bringing dual turntables, you know, the old, and he was playing old Southern gospel records from his collection, which he has thousands of the old Southern gospel albums. Wow. And the older generation that would walk by was just, they'd smile, you know, and they'd just sit there and they'd listen to it. And our people, they long for those, you know, that truth and those songs. But what I'm saying is, by being there, actually being at the NRB, we're able to anoint that desk where the people were sitting and pray that no one that was not to be there, no snakes would sneak in and try to get on the air. And I really believe that there was some really good broadcasts that went out, and I hope our people were able to hear those, and I hope they're in agreement.
Well, good. Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning, Richard. Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Let me pour you a cup this morning. We got a fresh pot of coffee on here.
Oh, appreciate that.
Somewhere here. Yeah, there it goes. Yeah. How you doing?
But anyway, well, what you were talking about, the great interest in the shortwave broadcasting, I think you're right. I've been searching for a different kind of a shortwave radio, actually, and I think I'm going to go shopping online, so to speak, to see if I can pick up one of the older sets.
eBay, you won't find them.
Yeah.
The older set.
Even if I have to pay the buck, you know, I think it might be a good idea, because these older sets do not have solid state circuitry in them, and they
there's a lot of people that are going to that older stuff and getting the old tube style radios, and it was interesting because we had Barry, one of our church members, he was visiting back, he works out of state, and he was visiting, and he came over and spent 2 days, and we worked on some older tube style amplifying equipment that he had, and he was talking about how this old stuff is just it's EMP proof,
exactly,
solar flare proof. You get, there's so many advantages to having this old tube style radios and equipment, just because of the vulnerability of the circuitry and the solid state devices.
Yeah. And also, they are a whole lot, if you make the antenna in such a way. In other words, if you do your homework and you make the antenna right, they are just as good, if not better. They sound better because they have bigger speakers, which
they have tubes in them. Yep.
Yeah. Well, tubes are still available. They're like, you really have to search But once you hit a bonanza, some of these guys are hoarding this stuff because they know it works.
Yep.
But anyway, I was thinking,
and there's so many different areas on those tubes too. I mean, you can get tubes that'll last. You get those good old mil-spec tubes that sometimes you can find new old stock from the 50s and 60s that you put up some of those tubes and upgrade those tubes in there. They'll last. You could use it every day for the rest of your life and never have a problem with it.
Yeah, I just sold two tube testers. I kicked myself in the can for doing that. They were falling apart. I couldn't keep them together. The wooden boxes were just disintegrating, and I had no place to keep them. And I also passed up the opportunity to pick up an oscilloscope and various other components from years ago, from the 40s and 50s. And it was basically...
Oh, wow.
I had to pay. I had to pay the cost of just going to get them and storing it. On the shortwave topic, there is a part of the band right next to 41 meters on the shortwave on sideband that is essentially pirate radio on the weekends. So that might be something you guys look into, because I'll tell you what, I was on it the other night, and they give out a website where you can send them like an electronic QSO. It's or QSL, you send them an email and they'll answer you.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, they go by various names. Pardon?
Single sideband 41?
Right around 6,900 kilohertz. Between 6,900 and 7,000 kilohertz.
Okay.
And they're really, really towards the weekend and on holidays, they get really active. At night, of course. In the wee hours of the morning, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But maybe work something out to just have like an audio loop just broadcasting out. Who knows,
Yeah. That'd be interesting. I'll have to check into that and see what we can figure out.
And on YouTube, there's a number of different channels that actually they'll sit there for 20 minutes or so and doodle around through the dial on the shortwave. And one guy actually, he keeps coming back to this weird channel with a preacher man talking the truth.
Yep.
I don't know. Maybe he's doing that on purpose.
Yep.
Yeah. Definitely. And there's several out there, Joe, that have done that on YouTube, that have taken the pastor's sermons and different things, communion services and all type, and broken them up and put them out there for the people to see. I know the one John, the comment you made, the warning you gave about the Farrakhan challenge a couple weeks ago, one of our church members has broke that up and put that up, and it gets quite the comments. Most of them are negative. You can tell most of them are from blacks, but it's being put out there in many different ways, from shortwave to live streaming to the YouTube channels. We're not doing all of them, but the truth is going out there. It definitely is. Well, Joe, appreciate the call. Let me get this other caller.
Thanks, Bob.
We're about wrapped up this morning, and I think we got time for another caller here. Hey, good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. Andre here in Connecticut.
Good morning, Andre.
Very interesting what that gentleman was talking about, with the tube radios. I've had an intention to get one myself, and I'm going to do that first time this spring. I get a little bit of money because I go to shows where they sell that sort of stuff. Interestingly enough, many people don't know this, but the tube technology in this country was all sold to the Russians years ago. And switch over to digital systems. And the Russian military's communications and technology systems are all analog. So you can flash all the atom bombs you want aerially over Russia, and you won't take down their military capability.
Yeah, well,
couple of well-placed explosives over this country, and everybody's dead in the water. This is the brilliance.
There's still a whole
American
lot.
American planning. Okay, though actually, it's not American planning. It's the today that planned this. But the vulnerability of digital systems under military circumstances and under, you know, the complete threat always of, you know, the CME from the sun, which they'll use to hype a system going down. If they bring it down, they'll blame it on some kind of sunspot. But anyway, it's a good, be good advice to everybody who wants a radio that they can listen to with either shortwave or otherwise, to have a tube system if they can get their hands on one, because it may be needed someday.
All right. Well, Andre, appreciate the call.
And I wanted to bring up something else, too, besides the fact that they're still harping on this Christie thing. They got to take him out of the running because they want Hillary to get elected. And so if Hillary becomes president, you'll know this is part of the process. But the other thing is, all the news about the Ukraine has changed to the news about the Crimea.
Yeah, I saw that.
And, you know, ostensibly, the rebels wanted to join the EU. And, of course, the administration of the country did not want to. But, you know, now our president is threatening Russia with some kind of intervention, or the price of they'll have to pay if they don't lay off these freedom fighters or whatever it is. You know, the real information, I believe, is that these non-government organizations have been financing this as a cover for the CIA to destabilize the country in the first place. And so we're gonna intervene to deal with problems that have been created by America. And who in their right mind would want to join the EU anyway? I mean, ask Greece if they're happy about it, or Italy if they're happy about it, or we can go on and on and on.
Yeah. they're not.
Huh?
And they're not. They're not. It's,
of course
it's,
they're not. So this excuse that that's what they want to do, they're totally irresponsible people who don't know how to run the economy of their own country if they've taken over.
Yeah.
And, you know,
interesting times we're in. It sure is. Well, Andre, we're again,
very fascinating to watch the world maniacs
confusing
things.
It is. Well, hey, we appreciate the call. We got one more caller here. We'll try to get on
this morning, boys.
All right,
it's cold as the devil back here too.
Thanks a lot. And as we're wrapping up coffee this morning, I think we got time for one more caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee
morning.
Wranglers.
Good morning. Hey, I heard a guy ask about hope. I thought about that, and I say use your imagination, whatever you can dream up that would benefit the human being and glorify God. There is the beginning, I picture, a new form of communication will be through the Spirit. It shall be done according to your faith. How big do you want to push it? And this whole business of Satan taking back all the little gadgets that he helped us invent, and we'll be forced to comply to the will of they will be forced to comply and through financial oppression. But the nice thing about them other characters not being so many of them there is because, see, some of them are probably afraid of what's coming, seeing how they know our Bible better than us. And I imagine they're just starting to freak out, you know, like when that rattlesnake knows he's been shot. He just fights and goes nuts. But anyway, that's all I got to say. God bless you all, and have a good day, fellas. Glad I got to have coffee with the Wranglers. Amen.
All right, guy. Thank you.
Thanks, guy.
Yeah, I think he brings up a good point. I think, Jason, that's where you started, how the change is, that it's just like a blitzkrieg of the enemies of God are just, you know, it's more intense. The war grows. It's like that snake's been shot, and it's just writhing around, you know.
Yep.
Given its death throes, and I think that's where it is. You know, we have to remember what the Word tells us. When we're hit, greater is He that's for us than anything that can come against us. It doesn't mean things aren't going to come against us. It doesn't mean it's not going to be a war. But we win in the end. We just have to continue through.
The other thing I noticed predominantly at that NRB was they're really, really pushing these new supposedly Christian movies, the Noah movie and the Son of God movie, and
yes.
and then that Bible series that was out. And from what I read about this Noah movie, basically they're saying that Noah's trying to explain the creation, and but he does it from a evolutionary standpoint, and basically that question whether man deserves to live because of what he's done to the environment, you know. So
yeah,
it's definitely got the Hollywood twist on that one.
They were green back in those days.
That's what I heard. I heard that as well, that they were having to put almost that when they debuted just parts of it, that the Christians that they debuted it to, thinking that they were just gonna, you know, get them right in, you know, are shaking their head, and they're having to put explanations and introductions to it and all types of things. Yeah, that they portrayed Noah as an environmentalist.
You know? Yeah, and I'm sure Son of God's going to be similar. Oh,
you know it's going to be.
Better remember the source.
Right, it's going to be bunk, but that's what our enemies are doing. You know, somebody brought up here a while back, I think we talked about it maybe last Sunday, but a couple generations ago, in the 60s, that's when, you know, the other Bible movies came out, The Greatest Story Ever Told, and The Ten Commandments and that kind of stuff, and they frame the box. They say, this is the story. And so for a generation or two, you know, when they pictured Moses parting the sea, it was Charlton Heston holding a staff. I mean, we're a visual people. And they're just doing the same thing now. The Bible, the epic miniseries, you know, with the Black Samson. And that's how people will... You know, and this younger generation will look at it, and the same thing with this Son of God. It and you bring a good point.
But the stupid people will believe what they see from Hollywood.
Oh yeah, yeah. But it's the
not having read the story.
Right. It's the Antichrist putting out this story, and they frame the box. They want you to think about it this way. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thanks for getting up early and joining us. And the snow is gone. We've got some blue skies here. Want to invite you to church tomorrow morning. Come to the website, scriptures4america.org, at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 Central, and noon on the East Coast. And join us for fellowship and praise and communion and a good Holy Spirit-inspired message. Thanks again. We'll see you tomorrow.
Rollin', 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rollin', 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rollin' over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Bozo stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, stake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more,
stake high. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride. Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My
heart's calculating, barking will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, big time.